so hype right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama, baby, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. I'm here for you Monday through Friday with brand new podcasts and not slowing down right now in the offseason. Maybe I'll dial it back a little bit later on, but right now still going strong with five shows per week. I'm John Corrales. I cover the Boston Celtics for Boston Sports Journal, and I'm the author of the Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, a book that is available everywhere books are sold. And if you want a signed copy, as a gift for Father's Day, you can go to my website, johncorrales.com, get a signed copy. Tell me what you want written in there. I'll put a personalized message in there for you, and you'll have a great gift for Dad for Father's Day or a gift for anybody for any day, whichever. I am going to be talking about Evan Fournier. We've been doing the daily individual going through player by player and players that are going to have like the huge storylines from this this upcoming offseason. And Fournier is going to be a big one because he obviously was, they traded for him and it's part of the Gordon Hayward thing and so much to parse through. By the way, today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app. Join me this week. Generally on Fridays, if I miss it on Friday, I'll get it to you on Saturday, but make sure you follow me at John Corrales on Locker Room and you'll get a notification. Locker Room is changing the way we talk about sports. I needed help to discuss Evan Fournier, so let me bring in Keith Smith, who you know from the old Twitter machine and now on SpotTrack, and also has a very successful Locker Room presence. Keith, what's going on, man?
That was too kind. I mean, I guess I do all right on Locker Room, but I'll take it.
Yeah. So obviously people know Keith from covering the NBA and has tremendous knowledge of the salary cap. And I thought we really needed that inside look because part of this discussion or a big part of this discussion with Evan Fournier and where the Celtics are has to do with the money. So we'll get to that point a little later on in the episode, but let's just start. We didn't get to see Keith a lot of Evan Fournier this year. You know, we got a little bits and, you know, you live down in Florida, so you got to see Evan. Another reason why I wanted to bring you on, you got to see a little bit more of Evan Fournier being around the Orlando Magic. So what did you see from him in Boston? What do you know of him? And like, what was missing from Evan Fournier in Boston from what he normally is?
Yeah, it was really cool to see Evan grow into the player he became. He came to Orlando as kind of a just toss-in on a draft night trade that was made. And then he was there when they had Victor Oladipo initially and was like, all right, we don't know what this guy will be. Then Aaron Gordon came in and was like, all right, well, can he be a small forward? What's Gordon going to be? Then they traded for Terrence Ross and that kind of kept going. But, you know, in the end, it was Fournier who was kind of, well, I guess he wasn't the last man standing because Ross is still here, but and Gordon got traded the same day. But Fournier kind of hung on throughout all of that, despite, you know, kind of constantly being like, is this guy going to be upgraded? Played himself into a pretty nice second contract with the Magic after his rookie deal expired. So he, good playmaker off the dribble, can primarily a scorer, but he understands, you know, who to pass to and when and where to hit the passes. That's something that I think we saw a little bit more of with Boston just because he was playing with better players than he did throughout most of his tenure in Orlando. Defensively, he's okay. He's not going to set the world on fire, but if you have a solid scheme with solid defenders around him, he's going to do okay in that situation. And then, you know, his scoring game is based a lot off the dribble. He can hit spot up shots when he's open, but he's going to do a lot more off the bounce, and whether that be coming off a screen and a couple dribbles into a jumper or kind of getting downhill and getting all the way to the basket. He's better than people, I think at that, because he's got pretty good size. He's not the strongest guy in the world, but he's a legit 6'7" or so, can really get in there and finish among the trees, or he's, you know, very comfortable dropping it off to a big or kicking it out or whatever it may be. So I think Celtics fans did not get to see the full versatility of his offensive game, because at the beginning he clearly wasn't comfortable. He was figuring it out, and then after that he was battling back from COVID, and I think by the time the playoffs rolled around he was okay. That's been the question mark. Is he, you know, a good playoff player or not? Because in his couple stints with Orlando, he wasn't great. And then he was kind of hit or miss against the Nets this year.
Yeah, it was kind of a shame. I mean, they get Evan Fournier. Then he has the false positive, which costs him a game. Yeah. Then he's actually positive. And then he has, like, the worst possible kind of COVID, where the return, when he described it like a concussion, I was like, geez, that was like, man, this, I feel bad for these guys. And this is the big question with Fournier. So people say, hey, look, you got him for a couple of draft picks. You got him for nothing. I don't really look at it that way, because it was the Hayward traded player exception. So I look at it in the big picture, the aggregate of everything. So you traded Gordon Hayward, and, you know, to make room for him, you had to move Daniel Tice. And you lost, you know, I don't care about, what's his name? Drawing a blank on the point guard for the Celtics signed. Jeff Teague.
Jeff Teague, yeah.
I don't care that they moved.
Well, that's
Jeff
how
Teague.
Long he was here. So.
Yeah. but look, and they also, who else did they give up in that deal?
Gave up a couple seconds in the Hayward trade.
Yep.
Real seconds, you know, their own seconds that they gave up, because that was kind of the enticement for Charlotte to even make it a sign and trade. And then $17 million of that trade exception was, you know, pretty big too.
So,
And Javonte Green.
And Javonte Green. Yep. That's the last name I was missing. So really it was 4 second round picks, Gordon Hayward, Daniel Tice, Javonte Green. And what you get out of it is Evan Fournier. So as of right now, that's kind of like a lopsided deal. That obviously wasn't the plan, and there's still $11 million left, and that's another discussion for another time. The Celtics could use that potentially somehow on one player, two players, we'll see. But the final page hasn't been written on the Gordon Hayward trade. But back to my original point before I started rambling. Getting Fournier here for all of that, it does, I think, put a little bit of pressure on the Celtics. But I wonder if now that Brad Stevens is in that seat, in that president's role, if that was part of like the plan, like, okay, get Ainge out. Now, if Brad Stevens doesn't want to re-sign Fournier, or if the ownership group says, hey, this is your limit on Fournier, X, and don't cross that. And if they lose Fournier, it's not Brad's fault. It's Danny Ainge's fault. It's Danny Ainge's failure.
Yeah, that could definitely be a part of it. But I've been saying all along, right? Boston only has 3 free agents. I guess 5 if you count the 2 two-way players. But, you know, it's Fournier, Luke Kornet, Semi Ojeleye. Kornet, he was a throw-in in the Tice trade. You know, we'll see. He had a couple nice moments with the Celtics. Ojeleye is clearly the guy who's been around the longest. And then you get Taco Fall and Tremont Waters coming off the two-ways. And then Fournier. So we're going to find out, to some extent, how Stevens feels about each one of those guys. You know, and how much was it, you know, hey, I was playing Ojeleye because I didn't have anybody else. So I felt like I had to. You know, I went to Kornet because – who else was I going to go to versus, you know, I really feel that those guys are good. But yeah, for Fournier in particular, there's just so many layers to what could happen with him. You know, he's coming off of a $17 million plus contract now. He's basically made right around $17 million the last few years. The thought around the league talking to people and just kind of the work I do with the cap seems like somewhere between 15 and 20 million is about what his value is. He could get pumped up a little bit because he is one of the better free agents in this very weak free agent class. And he's also an unrestricted free agent because some of the best guys this class are restricted. And we both know, right? And hopefully the listeners know, but if they don't, restricted free agency is a game that a lot of teams don't want to play. because it ties up your money. You've got to overpay guys in restricted free agency if you're going to get them, because if it's a good deal, the incumbent team will just match and say, yeah, we'll keep them. We'll work out a trade later, figure it out. So for Fournier, it really comes down to a couple things. Is one, what can he get money-wise? What are the Celtics willing to do money-wise? And then how much does he want to be back in Boston? And how much do the Celtics want him in Boston? He said all the right things, right? That he loved to be in there. But, I mean, every guy says that when they join a new team. And then, you know, and they said all the right things about how, you know, how much they were supporting him. That said, he played pretty good in the regular season with the Celtics. You know, people remember, I think, an 0-for-10 debut or whatever it was.
Right.
It was horrible.
It was overall,
I think he shot 45% from the field, 46% from three in the regular season games, and looked pretty good. You know, over half of his shots were three-pointers. So that part, a little bit different for him, but he's a pretty good three-point shooter. So, you know, you can envision how he can fit in well from the glimpses we saw with Tatum and Brown, because in my opinion, that's what everything going forward needs to be about is, you know, can these guys play with Tatum and Brown? And if you can't, there's no place for you on this team anymore, because it just doesn't, you know, that's all that really kind of matters right now. You know, if that's what the Celtics are building around, then that's what you got to do. So, yeah, so I've been trying to get people to understand Celtics might love Evan Fournier and they might love him at 16 or 17 million a year. And another team might love him at 20 million. And this is where I think you have to kind of have the Danny Ainge, Evan Turner approach of, go take that money then. You know, congratulations. Right. You know, good luck.
Right.
You know, with you. But you're absolutely right on what you said, just to go back to that. On, it's a little bit easier. If Ainge was still in charge, you would get very much, I think, people beating him up if he lost Fournier. Because it would be, you used over half the Hayward trade exception for nothing. You know, why did you not hang on to it? Why did you not go get somebody under contract for several years and those kind of things? Whereas with Stevens, Stevens didn't make that decision. So, right. You know, some people will beat him up anyway, right? And we'll kind of yell and scream and do what they do. But I think for the most part, people will be like, hey, it's not Stevens' fault. Stevens didn't make that trade.
Right.
You know, it's about what does he do going forward? So yeah, my guess is they're going to set a walkaway number. And if it exceeds that, then they'll walk away. If it doesn't, then, you know, he may be back here in Boston.
That's a good place to leave it for now. Come back and talk about setting that value and dig a little bit more into some of the numbers you just provided. So we'll do that in just a second. First, you know, people don't know me in my past life in television. I did spend a little bit of time as a hiring manager, and I know what it's like to go through resumes and stacks of resumes. I wish I had something as useful as Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3, post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. It's really a useful tool. Get your quality shortlist of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet your must-have qualifications and schedule complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. Indeed makes connecting with and hiring the right talent fast and easy with tools like Indeed Instant Match, giving you quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your job description immediately, and Indeed skills test that on average reduces hiring time by 27%. You can choose from more than 130 skills tests and then add your must-have requirements so you only pay for applicants and applications that meet them. If you're hiring, you need Indeed. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/locked. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/locked. Indeed.com/locked. Offer valid through June 30th, so time is running out. Terms and conditions apply. Built Bar. I've been talking about Built Bar forever. I had props that I was showing people about Built Bar on the screen here, and I ate them all. So they're good, and I couldn't hang on to my props. They got 9 delicious flavors in their regular rotation. Things like coconut, almond, raspberry, double chocolate, salted caramel. You can see there's a variety, a little something for everyone. My favorite one right now is peanut butter brownie, because I'm just a peanut butter maniac. And all of these Built Bars, the thing is, they taste like candy bars, but 17 grams of protein or so in all of these Built Bars. You're getting somewhere between 130 to 180 calories with only 4 net carbs and 4 or 5 grams of sugar. So it's delicious. It's nutritious. It is good for you if you're on a keto diet. You can have them. If you've got nut allergies, no problem. They've got them without nuts as well, and they're safe. So check them out. Go to builtbar.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15. You're going to get 15% off your next order. Go check out the website. Special flavors dropping all the time. Use the code LOCKED15 for 15% off your order at builtbar.com. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. So the Celtics have a decision to make here with Evan Fournier. Obviously, he was useful, and as I bring Keith Smith back onto the show, his numbers there, he did have a good stretch there at the end of the regular season. When we talk about that value, Keith, that we're trying to figure out what the Celtics walkaway number would be and all of that. But let's start with this. What teams are out there? Let's lay the landscape out. What teams are out there that have the money to offer Evan Fournier somewhere in that range? We know the Celtics have bird rights, so they can offer him whatever. That doesn't matter. The Celtics don't have limitations really on what they can offer him. Other than the ones that they put on themselves. But what teams are out there that have the money to spend?
Yeah, so this is where I think it makes a lot of sense to understand the market, right? Because Fournier is going to get more than the mid-level exception. So if you don't have cap space, you're out, unless you're doing a sign and trade for him, which that's something we can talk about after for an option for the Celtics. So initially, there's about 7 teams that have cap space, and they're all about $20 million or more. That ranges from the Knicks at the top of the list, who I project will have about $53 million in cap space, to the San Antonio Spurs at about $48 million, Oklahoma City at $46 million. So then they're on down. So if we go through those teams, I think the Knicks could be an option. I think we saw in their first-round playoff series against the Hawks, they were lacking offensive creation. They were lacking guys who could shoot. So I think that could be in the mix for them. But their challenge is they'd probably want to keep that to a very short-term deal. Now, what they could do is they could go get Fournier and really overpay him on a one-year or one-plus-one deal or something like that, where he makes a ton of money in 1 year and still gives the Knicks a bunch of flexibility going forward. Spurs, they don't seem overly likely. They've got a bunch of guards and wings and younger guys that I think they like quite a bit. Oklahoma City, we know they're not spending money on a guy like Fournier right now.
Right.
Dallas Mavericks, they would come up next at $34.5 million. I think they've got other plans, but if you kind of strike out on those other plans, I think Fournier could be there. And I don't think Fournier is going to be a number one on anybody's list, that they're going to be pursuing him right out of the gate. Toronto's not going to do it. Memphis becomes an interesting team with about $22.7 million. That's if they move off of Justice Winslow. Fournier could really help a team like the Grizzlies as a wing creator and a guy who can shoot. That team really needs guys like that.
Definitely.
And then the last team, oddly enough, is the Charlotte Hornets, who I don't think that would make a ton of sense. I think they'd rather just keep Devontae Graham home there and give him a new contract. But if something happened there, that would just, Celtics fans probably won't think it's very funny, but I would think it's kind of funny if they went that route again. And maybe Boston could convince them to do it as a sign and trade. And, then we kind of roll it over.
That would be fun, huh? Another sign and trade with the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah, people would absolutely lose their minds. So we'll see, right? So that's kind of what the teams that can offer him more than the mid-level. Then you get into sign and trades, and you could probably look at 5-6 teams in the league that maybe would want to do a sign and trade for a guy like Fournier and bring him in. So that becomes kind of the market you're looking at there. But the sign and trades, right? The Celtics have to agree to that. Fournier has to want to go to the team, just like we learned with Hayward last year. So that kind of sets your market. Now, what teams are going to overpay him? Like I said, maybe the Knicks on a really big one-year deal. Think of it like what the 76ers did with J.J. Redick a couple years ago, where if it's, all right, there's nothing else to use, but hey, Fournier, we'll give you $25 million. for 1 year because we got to spend money anyway. You know, what if they swooped in with something like that? Does that become, you know, more interesting to him? And then right, he's in the New York market and all the things that kind of come along with that there. But I think you're looking at a contract again, somewhere between 15 and 20 million starting salary for Fournier. And I think that the question of, is that doable for the Celtics, becomes what else do they do with their roster and how willing and how deep into the luxury tax are they willing to go?
That's the heart of the question here. It's the heart of all of this, the Kemba conversation, all of these conversations about who should stay and who should go hinges on what the Boston Celtics ownership group is willing to pay in a luxury tax. And I feel like I'm going to say this to like my fourth straight podcast. It's easy for me to spend Wick Grosbeck's money over here on a podcast, right? But I don't know what limitations we can say, but their value has grown to $2 billion. They bought the team for like $300 million, whatever the number was, and now it's a $2 billion team, a $3 billion team. But you only get that value when you sell the franchise, yeah. Right? I mean, I suppose you can borrow against it, but you know, it's not like he's got that money liquid, like just sitting there like, oh, let me pay this. So I understand there are limitations. I know that Boston is in a different financial position than other teams. They don't own their own building, which other teams do. And that helps in the overall kind of revenue creation. They don't get money from the concessions that they sell. They have to pay rent, which sure, it's probably a good deal, but they still have to pay rent as opposed to a mortgage and owning their own building. So it's different. Their regional network doesn't make as much money. They don't own their regional network. They own a part of NBC Sports Boston, but they don't own the whole thing. So I get it. Not as much money is coming in. So it's not as much money is going to go out. And so I understand there are limitations in Boston. The question now, okay, you still have to build a team around Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. The Celtics probably don't want to go too long-term with Evan Fournier either, right? They're not going to, I don't know if they're going to go, they're not going to go 5 years. They're not going to go beyond what Jaylen Brown's got three more years in his contract. So do you think they go beyond 3 years for Fournier?
Yeah, probably not. My guess is they would much rather have it be like what I call a 2-1, which is 2 years with a team option attached to the end, or you know, some kind of non-guarantee or something like that. And sometimes you pay a little bit more in those early years to give the guy that, or give yourself that flexibility on the back end. Because I think the challenge for the Celtics is right now you don't want to extend money much past when Kemba Walker comes off the books, and you have to kind of approach things until he's not on the team anymore, like he is on the team. So you have to plan that he's going to be on the team for the 2 years left on his contract. So I think what happens ultimately there is they're probably going to look at that and say, all right, well, in 2022, maybe, you know, Walker comes off the books, probably not, because he's going to pick up that player option at this point. So we're really looking at 2023. And in 2023, it's shaping up like it could be a pretty good free agent class. And you would like to be in the mix with your selling point being, hey, come here and play with an in their prime Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
Right.
You know, and hopefully maybe a couple of the young kids have panned out by that point. And you know, there's our depth pieces. We've got the two all-stars. Come in, be that third guy. And, you know, here we go. Now we're, you know, ready-made title contenders. And I think that's your selling point. So for that reason, you don't want to lock in long-term for a guy like Fournier unless you can do it at a number you feel confident is very easily movable. So what one of the things I've thrown out there is it puts you in a little bit of a bind this year, because here's what I don't think enough people are realizing is right now, as the team stands with the guys under contract, so take out the five free agents we already mentioned, the remaining 12 players that are under contract outside of Jabari Parker are all on guaranteed contracts. And that money, if you include Parker in there and this year's draft pick, the number 16 overall draft pick, you are right at the luxury tax line, not the salary cap, but the tax line. You're right at it. They're like a million over at that point. No, a million over is nothing. You can get out of that easy enough. Ship Carson Edwards off with a second round pick and you're under. But that's before you did anything else. That's before re-signing Fournier, filling out the roster, any of those things. We know, I think, teams now, they don't go into seasons with open roster spots the way they used to. So they'll fill out the roster. You know, maybe they'll have carry one open spot, but they'll at least sign a couple guys to minimum deals. So that part is where it gets really interesting, because essentially anything you do with Fournier is going to put you over the tax apron, which then will limit you in how much of the mid-level exception you can use.
Right.
So it'll be down to that. Now, Boston is in a bit of an interesting place because they only have three open roster spots as it stands today. You're taking out the two two-way spots, you know, because they've only got the three free agents. But if you re-sign Fournier, I know a lot of people really seem to want them to re-sign Luke Kornet. So even if you brought Kornet back on a minimum or close to it, you're well into the tax, and that's the challenge. So now, if you're Brad Stevens in the front office, one of the conversations you need to be having is, can we start the year deep in the tax and then work to get out of it as the year goes along? And if ownership's in agreement with that, or at least lessen it, what you could do with Fournier is start him at a higher number, maybe start him around 18 to 20 million, and then have that contract decline mm-hmm. over the life of the deal, because then it becomes that much more movable. Because I think Fournier, you know, the eye test tells me, all the stats tell me, he's going to age fine. You know, he's not somebody who's going to fall off a cliff in the next couple of years. He should be fine for, you know, the life of a 3 or 4 year contract. And if you have that contract decline over the life of it, there, you know, now you're in a better place, because it becomes easy to move. It could even become something, if he's a great fit, you could really work around it. But they've got a lot of things to answer. Now, you know, I know this isn't the Kemba Walker podcast, one of 1,000 you'll probably do this offseason. Right. But if you move him, now that frees up everything, right? If you move him and take far less money back, then your flexibility increases, you know, tenfold with that. So those are kind of the things with Fournier that I think this is not a cut and dry, re-sign the guy, don't re-sign the guy. There's a lot of other factors that are going to go into keeping him or not.
Yeah, this is, man. Okay, I'm going to take another break, because we got to pick this back up here, because the numbers and the years and all that stuff, it does get really fascinating with Fournier and all of these external things. So we'll bring Keith back in just a minute. First, betonline.ag is the fastest, easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. We know that we're down to the final four series going on. The conference finals are next in the NBA. You can still bet on all of those. You can bet in-game stuff. You can bet on, you know, the usual stuff, whatever sport you want. International stuff, it's all there. So head on over, use your laptop, use your mobile device, whichever, and use the promo code LOCKEDON to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So go sign up for free, use that promo code LOCKEDON the first time you make a deposit, then whatever that is, $200, $100 welcome bonus with that promo code LOCKEDON. That's how it works. 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in the game at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Please gamble responsibly. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. Today on Road to the Finals, our NBA playoffs coverage is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. And at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, we can all enjoy the games a little bit more this postseason. And we can enjoy a series in the East. Thank you, Milwaukee Bucks, coming back and evening the series with the Brooklyn Nets. Now, interesting things happening over there in Brooklyn. Kyrie Irving sprained his right ankle. James Harden's still out with that hamstring tightness. If all of a sudden it becomes just Kevin Durant and his merry band of teammates there, I don't know. All of a sudden, the Bucks winning that series suddenly becomes much more likely. Hell, they might become the betting favorites on BetOnline. So we'll have to see how much that sprained ankle impacts Kyrie Irving. Things suddenly changed. And we'll see exactly how hurt James Harden is, because they might have been holding him out and be like, yeah, we're good without him. If there's any chance that he can go, and if Kyrie's out for a while, then that's we'll see Harden back on the floor. But man, that series suddenly got interesting. So grab yourself a couple of Michelob Ultras for that next game. I think the next one's on Tuesday night. That's going to be a fun one. All right, let's get back to the conversation on Evan Fournier, because we are digging deep into the nitty gritty with Keith Smith, and we've got all of these external factors. I love that you laid out the, because I've been saying it for people for a long time, the Celtics can't bring somebody in on a sign and trade. They're not going to do anything that's going to hard cap them. Even if they do move Kemba, they can't take that risk, because you bring back Fournier, it's too tight. So fans have to understand that the options are limited. The Lonzo Ball suggestions, I'm sorry, folks, if you're one of the people that says, go get Lonzo Ball, they can't. They just can't do it. Now, the question I have, does that make it more or less likely that they go in on Evan Fournier? Because I'm super intrigued by that Knicks possibility. I hadn't thought about that. That Knicks come in and say, hey, you know what? You're getting these offers somewhere around what you're making now, $17 million. Maybe you go up to $20 million, whatever. We'll give you 25. We'll give you 25 for 1 year. You go back out, you be a free agent next year. Do whatever the hell you want. And that changes everything. If the Knicks do that, he'd be kind of a fool not to. But also, there's the issue of longer term security. That's not even going to happen with Boston either, because Boston needs to structure their contracts. I'm looking at this cap sheet. They need to structure their contracts so they have options around the end of Jaylen Brown's contract and towards the end of Jason Tatum's contract. Jaylen Brown, again, under contract for 3 more years. You mentioned you're going into that 2023 season looking to maybe be a player in free agency. Let's do this. Because I haven't looked at the list. Do you have the list of free agents in 2023?
I don't have it handy, but all right. I can get it.
Yeah. While I'm talking, see if you can pull that up. Because I'm kind of curious to see who might be in that mix in 2023. But now we have this. Does Evan Fournier, if the Celtics come up and say, okay, here's 2 years at whatever, or maybe three, but if they don't want to be shut out of that free agency, they'll say, hey, it's only going to be a 2-year contract. At that point, if the Knicks do come in and say, hey, here's a little more money for 1 year, one plus one or whatever, I would say he goes and does that. And I don't know exactly what the Celtics are going to be bidding against. It just makes it the standard, like 3 or 4 year deal. If they really liked Fournier, that is not really in play here. Do you have the list?
Yeah, I do. So the top guy on this list, everybody's favorite player in the world, Bradley Beal, will be a free agent in the summer of 2023. Oh, yeah. That's assuming he doesn't opt out the year prior, which he probably will.
Right.
You know, in 2022, but he'll be there. Bogdan Bogdanovic has a player option that summer. Bojan Bogdanovic. Maybe you go the Bogdanovic double. That'd be fun. Oh, Malcolm Brogdon, Dylan Brooks. And I'm just going alphabetical order here, John. Jimmy Butler, Clint Capella, Pat Connaughton, Jay Crowder, old friend there, Seth Curry. Lou Dort will be a restricted. There's a team option on him that year, so he probably won't be there. Kevin Durant, provided he doesn't opt out the year prior. Joel Embiid will be out there. Danilo Gallinari, Jeremy Grant. So you're starting to get a sense, right?
That's a loaded free agency class in 20.
Yeah, summer LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, Nikola Jokic, Caris LeVert, Brooke Lopez. I mean, I'm not even halfway through the alphabet. I think we've made the point.
Yeah,
that's a loaded free agent class.
So that plays into this whole thing. So then, I would expect if we're now looking at this, I think we're starting to dial in. I don't know if the Celtics go past 2 years in an offer for Fournier.
Yep. Yeah. I think you got to offer him 2 years with the third year as a team option. That way, you know, if you're Boston, if he for some reason becomes the perfect fit, alongside Tatum and Brown, then you're protected. And that's why, you know, even in that situation, I'd probably try to get ownership's buy-in to go into the tax this year. If I was Brad Stevens and company, we'll work to get that number down. We'll try to get out of it, whatever we got to do. But if we could go a little higher, put it on a declining, that all of a sudden becomes an extremely tradable contract. You're able to move off it if you need to a year early. But yeah, I can't see anything that extends into 23, 24, just because that's got to be the summer you want to have max flexibility if you're the Celtics. That's why in these Kemba Walker trades, yeah, if you could in some magic fairyland trade Kemba Walker for Bradley Beal, you do it right now because then you're done. You don't need to be players in free agency, right?
Right.
But that's the thing. And I'm glad you mentioned the Lonzo Ball situation too, because the other thing I like to remind people is, all right, we could talk about cap math in forever, why those things don't work. Why in the world would the Pelicans want Kemba Walker? Like, it doesn't make sense for them right on their end. They've already got, you know, point guards coming out of their ears and, you know, one that they already don't want in Eric Bledsoe. So, you know, so that kind of becomes, you know, your situation there. But yeah, it's one of those things where, there's no way a sign and trade where Boston acquires a player via sign and trade happens. I want to be clear, you can send somebody out via sign and trade. That doesn't hard cap you, because that seems to be people, I think, are starting to understand doing a sign and trade hard caps you, but it's only coming in. It's not going out. But yeah, they are in a tricky spot here where you've got a lot of stuff to work around, because this is because you've got to have an eye on that summer. And this is why we always say, you know, as Brad Stevens is about to learn full hand, being a general manager is very different than a coach. Coach is about right now. That's why that coach GM dual position does not work.
Oh, yeah.
Because the two jobs are always at odds with each other. So Brad Stevens, you know, may be, all right, I want some vets, right? Every coach wants vets on his bench because that's what I need. And all these things where the GM has to be a little patient and have a bigger picture in mind of, all right, I got to look out, you know, a couple years. And I think what you're going to see is some – with Fournier is an interesting kind of pivot point, because I think you're just going to see more retooling than rebuilding here over the next couple of years with this roster. And I think Fournier could be a part of either way. On that, right, it could be it's too rich for our blood, we got to let him go. Or, you know, this is a nice piece to have, he's going to help us win some games, and then maybe he becomes a trade piece moving forward. But everything's got to be setting up for that summer of 2023 when you're there. And again, not the Marcus Smart podcast either, but that's going to factor into him. He's up for an extension.
I literally was looking at his name. I literally was just looking at his name and thinking in my head, asking, you know, like, I know this is not the Marcus Smart podcast, but yeah, like – so I already did the Marcus Smart podcast, and we're talking about extending him and maybe locking him up and all of that stuff. But, you know, you bring up a lot of good points here where maybe even if you want to keep Marcus Smart long-term, you got to figure out how that plays into that summer of 23 or what do they do? How do they go get Bradley Beal before that? You know, like that's going to be, I've mentioned Bradley Beal's name a million times. I think that the best way you keep Jason Tatum is to bring his buddy into town, sign his buddy long term. Does that make it too much repetition between duplication between Jaylen Brown and Tatum and Beal? Or do you just want to have three dynamic wings on the floor that can do all of that stuff? And you know, they can, one of those guys can guard a stretch four or something like that.
Oh yeah. I mean, Tatum does it all the time now.
Right. Those three guys, a point guard and a center is a hell of a team. So, I don't know. I don't want to go too far off the beaten path here. We're trying to figure out Fournier, but this is why this is part of the Fournier conversation, right? This is it.
Yep.
Because Fournier, as we, you know, try to wrap this up here, Fournier is good. And you have good player, fills a role. Celtics need him. You want to be good right now. You cannot you cannot tell Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum that, okay, we're going to do this and we're nickel and diming and blah, 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 because that hurts them long term. Like at any point, these guys can turn around and be like, you know what? Screw this. Trade me. And
especially when all those, sorry to interrupt you, but all those two have done is win.
Right.
Yeah, this is the worst year they've had. Since they've been in the league.
Right.
And I think people, you know, forget that. That's why people say, well, they'll understand. yeah, why you have to step in. No, they won't. These guys, all they've known is winning. All they want to do is win. The money's there now. That's done. That part of it's solved for them for the next couple of years. They're right. No longer playing for contracts. Now it's about winning. And we know you get to year two, year three of that second contract and your team's not a contender. That's when immediately those guys start looking and saying, all right, yeah, where else? Where could I go? And that's, yeah, you don't want to even introduce that idea into their minds.
Exactly. So, okay, fine. This year, you can say this year might be a year where we're tinkering, but we've got these big plans and you got to sit down with these guys and have the big plans. And you know, I forget who was talking about it. Somebody was talking about Jaylen Brown and Brad Stevens went out to dinner to talk about the coaching search. And I'm sure that's a good dinner to be had, to, you know, have that conversation of like, look, here's where we are financially. We got this, and this. And hey, maybe if you can back channel some stuff for us, Jaylen, sure. You know, you want to talk to Donovan Mitchell? He seems to be doing okay. What's his
situation? That's your buddy. Yeah.
but anyway, like these are all things that have to come into play here. And I'm glad that we can do podcasts, Keith, because we can get down to the heart of this and not just spend time on the surface level of, well, Evan Fournier is worth 3 years and, you know, $60 million. So let's just give it to him. Like,
yeah,
you got the Jaylen and Jason factor. You've got the luxury tax factor. You got to figure out what the hell you're doing with Kemba Walker. And if you can't move Kemba Walker, what's the appetite for paying a tax? And if you can't move Kemba Walker, then what? Then do they just not sign Evan Fournier because you can't move Kemba Walker? And is that the right, like what, at what point are you just running a team payroll or building a basketball team? And I'm kind of like afraid right now that this team is being run payroll wise. And we're going to see what the answer is there because like, we haven't seen this situation yet with the Boston Celtics. In all of the time that Wick Grosbeck and that ownership group has been together, the only time that they've had big contracts is when they traded for the Kevin Garnett and mm-hmm. Ray Allen. Like that's when they paid the luxury tax, but they immediately built a contender. We haven't seen the rookies who get the max or near max deals and have that kick in and have this team be kind of like floating along and at a pivotal point. We haven't seen how this ownership group is going to react to how these next few years line up financially. And maybe it's worth doing a podcast on the ownership group because we don't know what they're going to do. And they do have limitations, but at the same time, there's going to be a new TV deal in 3 years, 4 years, 4 years. In fact, it's Jason Tatum's last year where I guess that's the player option in that last year. That's the year he can opt out and be the first year of the new TV deal. So, like,
I think on top of that, too, I believe just because I think the league is sending all the signals that they've always shut everything down in the past on this topic immediately before, but I think we're going to see expansion. I think within the next 5 years, they're going to announce expansion. And then it'll probably be, you know, after it's announced, it'll be 2 years or so before we see those teams come into play. But I think we're going to get to that point because it really was telling to me when it was at, I don't remember which point in the year it was, but it was at one of his like State of the NBA addresses where Adam Silver, every time he's asked about expansion and every time he's always said, nothing we're even looking at. We're not even considering it. 30 healthy franchises. For the first time ever, in each subsequent time, it's been, yeah, we started to dust off that analysis. We started to look into it and see what it could be. I think the league knows there's enough appetite for it. There's some major cities out there that, you know, want teams. It's a good way to get a cash infusion into these owners' pockets that isn't split with the players.
Exactly.
You know, so you've got all those things. But to go back to your point with the ownership is I've always believed when they have said, we will pay the luxury tax for a contender. The challenge that Brad Stevens now has as, you know, the guy who's running the show has to sell them on is, yes, Kemba Walker, Marcus Smart, Evan Fournier being on this team alongside Tatum and Brown, that may not be a contender right away, But if we spend now, here's my long-term vision for how we move those pieces along or whatever. So in a couple years, we can still have Tatum and Brown and be a contender. So it might be asking them, you got to spend now for a team that's pretty good. I think that team would be pretty good if they're healthy.
Sure.
You know, I think that's a team that's in the mix for the East Finals again, like they have been the last few seasons. And I think that's where you got to convince them, we may not get over the top. Maybe they do, who knows where Tatum and Brown are going to go, if they, keep improving and, really play themselves in the superstar level. I just feel like the ownership's going to say, we're not title contenders right now, right? We're not raising Banner 18 next season. So the answer is no. And at that point, it is basically impossible to envision a team that brings back Fournier, Smart, and Walker all on this team next year. You can't do it because I'm taking Tatum and Brown off the table. They're going to be back. So you can't get to a place where all those guys are back, because the only way to get there is if you're paying the tax. Unless Stevens has some wild trade dreamed up that brings in somebody great, and then Fournier's re-signed as kind of the cherry on top of a title contention roster, then maybe you could see him back. But I have my doubts we're going to see all three of those guys back. I just don't see how they make it work and put together a team that fits ownership's payroll. And that it hit exactly what you said. They're starting to become a payroll team. And that's it's concerning, but it's also somewhat understandable. So I think but I go back to everything you got to do from here on out needs to be about making Tatum and Brown feel confident in where this team is going. The coach hire needs to do that. The roster moves need to do that. And the spending need to do that. You got to prove that to those guys over the next few years, or you're going to run into trouble with them as well.
Yeah. This is where I feel like that, spending that tax now, and whatever it is, it's easy for me to say, but you got to spend now and know that A, cash infusion is coming. New TV deal is coming. Expansion, you're right. I think expansion is coming. And so there's multiple billions of dollars, and you hit on the right point, that money just goes to the owners. Does not get split with the players. So you have money coming in. You can borrow. If they need to borrow against the team and say, look, we're going to borrow to pay this tax bill, and when this new infusion of cash comes in, that pays off this loan or whatever, however they do it, then that is a wash. You bite the bullet as much as you can. You do what you can. Like, I'm not saying just bring everybody back. Sure. You do what you can, but you can't go super cheap. Not right now. You can't go. You can't cheap out and blow it long term. And then once you get that third star, maybe you find a way to get that third star while Fournier is still under contract, and you find a way to keep Marcus Smart. Now all of a sudden, you've got yourself, there's your championship contender, and then you can start extending Jaylen Brown. You get him a new contract. You can really build this out long-term. I'm so afraid that they're going to go super cheap, and they'll trade away Kemba, and they're going to let Fournier walk and whatever. And I mean, at least I hope at least they can get a traded player, except or not.
That it's funny. I know we joked about it, but I feel like that's could be where this is headed with Fournier, is he's moved for another traded player exception, of 17, 18 million, whatever he gets paid. And and then, and then we're kind of living in that world. The challenge will be is last year was right. How many conversations did you have? I had everybody who covers the team of can't use all of it because they're hard capped. So this is, this and this and this. It'll be, can't use all of it because it'll push you way into the tax. So, that's going to be an interesting thing. Again, it's on the Robert Williams podcast. He's due for an extension. That's going to be a thing. The good news is they've got enough guys who have shown enough, at least, that they can move off them. If you can need to move off Grant Williams or Romeo Langford or anybody like that, those aren't big individual salaries, but those, those add up to, 7-10 million pretty quickly. If you needed to move off those contracts, that's something that you could do. But yeah, this is a spot where I put it, maybe more harshly, where if you want to cheap out on the team, maybe sell. We all, criticize some owners like James Dolan and guys like that for, I think, but he always spends. You know, that if I'm a sports fan, all I want my ownership to do is spend. Just spend money.
Right.
That's it. You know, I just want you to spend to keep good teams together, or spend to make good teams. You know, I'd prefer it if you don't act like an idiot all the time, but you know, but spend money, you know, be Steve Ballmer, right? Go spend money.
Right.
You know, because we without getting in any names, we don't know, there's a million, you know, rich people with ties to New England that would love to own the Celtics.
Of course.
You know, as a toy. Right. Because that's what these teams are to these owners. They're hobbies, they're toys, you know, very, very, very expensive hobbies and toys. But yeah. And then to your point, yeah, get out of it. Maybe make your, you know, $2 billion, $3 billion, whatever it is the team would sell for.
Hey, why not put 25% of the team up for sale? Somebody in there, like a minority owner, or 49% of the team up for sale, and get $1 billion infusion of cash and say, all right, like that's. You know, you still don't give up a controlling share, but you got somebody with some cachet in there.
Yeah,
that could be an option. Absolutely. That could be an option. All right, got to wrap things up because we went way long because you were great, Keith, and there's so much great information here on Evan Fournier. And we'll see what the Celtics do. But just to wrap it up, I think 2-year deal somewhere in that, you know, 40-ish million dollar range is. Might be what we're looking at. So we'll see what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Keith, thank you very much. You're on Spot Track now. So all of the reason why I brought Keith on was because, you know, all of the salary cap information is just, you know, awesome. So check them out there. Thanks for hopping on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right. And so long episode here with about Evan Fournier, but lots of great stuff. Follow Keith on Twitter, Keith Smith NBA, at Keith Smith NBA. And it was awesome. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast, or if you're new to the podcast, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Also on YouTube, watch the show on YouTube because we're on YouTube now. And share the podcast. Tell your friends that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.